in Luke chapter 2, so if you'll find that with me, Luke chapter 2, when you find it, go ahead and stand. We'll read our text for this morning. For those of you who are guests, we've been going through the book of Luke. We started in chapter 1, right at the beginning, and we're just going verse by verse through the book. And so we find ourselves in chapter 2 this morning, 1 through 7. Not because we're celebrating Christmas, you know, it's not even July anymore, but just because that's where we are in our study. And I think this morning, not only is this a timely message, God knows just what we need when we need it. So I look forward to what He's going to do in our hearts this morning. Look at verse 1, we'll read to verse 7. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. It's a miracle, the birth of Christ. It's a blessing because Jesus came. Now we have the ability to have salvation and eternal life through Christ. This amazing story that we read just now, how God brought Joseph and Mary from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And you know what was in between those two places? A hard road. And we're going to talk about a hard road this morning. Some of us might find ourselves on a journey in life. We're in a patch. It's pretty hard. And I think God has something for you this morning. Father, I pray Your blessings on the message, stir and work in the hearts of Your people. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You can be seated. Thank you for standing. When Luke wrote this gospel, the church was experiencing a time of great persecution. When you study in the New Testament, what you'll find is that people stood for Jesus and then the world hated them for it. You know, I think sometimes we are surprised by that. When we stand for Jesus, or we take stands for the gospel, or we have a testimony, and then the world around us seems to go against that or fight against that, we shouldn't be surprised. This has been the way since Jesus came. As a matter of fact, we talked about it in Sunday school this morning, that Jesus lived the perfect life, and He came to be the Savior of mankind, and He died on a cross, and He didn't do anything wrong. It's because the world fights against the principles and the truths of God. So the world was what I'm saying is the church was in a difficult time when the Gospel of Luke was written. Luke wrote the Gospel to a man named Theophilus. So if you read the first few verses of Luke or the first few verses of Acts, which Luke wrote both of those books of the Bible, It was in a time when Theophilus would have been experiencing a kind of great persecution. Stephen, remember this violent persecution that came against these men of God, studiers of the Bible? It was Stephen. It was Christians were stripped from their homes after that and sort of launched into this time of persecution. James was beheaded in Acts chapter 12. And so there was this deep hatred for the gospel. Let's not forget that when we walk with the Lord and we surrender to Him and we try to live the life He has us to live, that as we journey through life, that we're going to hit portions of our life when the road is going to be hard. I talked to somebody Wednesday and I said, "How's it going?" "It's been a rough road." And so we have those rough road seasons in life, don't we? Standing for God, it can kind of bring us into that time where we face those kind of hard things. Let's not forget that anybody who stood for Jesus and their faith came out on the outside as they lived for Christ on the inside, that it came out in their lives, that there was a danger there. And so Christians in the early time, they had to be, in the early times of the gospel, they had to be mindful of that. I mean, it wasn't just like we could just go out and put banners on the street and hold signs and stuff. I mean, there was a serious danger associated to standing for Jesus. So they had to be mindful of their surroundings. These hard roads would have made Christians in these early days wonder about some things. Like, are we even on the right road? You know? And we're on a rough patch. You might wonder, man, am I even on the right road? We've all been on roads like that, right? I remember years ago when we were on our way to a job, and so my stepdaddy's like, hey, look at this muddy road. It was this huge ruts and this muddy road. It hadn't rained too long before that. He's like, let's go down this road. It'll be fun. We'll do some mudding. We got halfway down and we got stuck. I'm like, this isn't fun. And we get out and we're like, you know, a foot are sinking into the mud, shoes coming off in the mud, and then you're like, where's my shoe? You know? So sometimes the road is like that. You're just traveling along, and maybe you're not looking for it. We went looking for it, but you're not looking for it. It found you, and so you're in a rough season. In those times, Christians who are standing for Jesus and they're going through these things, they would start to wonder, is this supposed to be happening? Is the things that I'm going through, is this a normal? And they would start questioning, you know, whether or not they're even doing the right things, whether or not maybe we're even on the right road. There's that temptation, right? Whenever you feel like something's too hard, that you would quit, that you wouldn't want to do it anymore. I mean, this is not just hard. This is too hard. It reminds me of the road trip we took to Maine for the missions journey. That was a fun time. I mean, to go on that missions trip, to be a blessing to Brother McFarland, was awesome. But he took us to New Hampshire, where Mount Washington is, and we drove up Mount Washington. Raise your hand if you've been to Mount Washington, you've driven up that. So you know what I'm about to talk about, right? That drive is the worst. It's the worst. Okay? So there's this narrow road that two cars, when you look at it, you're thinking, no, two cars don't fit on this. And there's a line in the middle, a yellow line in the middle, and then there's white lines on the outsides. But it looks like a four-wheeler should drive on that, you know? You're thinking, man, can my car even... And I'm in a 12-passenger van, and we drive up this mountain for miles, you know? And here you think, well, that's not a big deal. I mean, I've driven on roads like that before. But here's where it's a big deal. Because there's stretches on this road. When on the other side of that narrow white line, the outside, is the cliff. Like, so you would just die. I mean, it's straight down the mountain. And so I'm white-knuckling it the whole way up. Not enjoyable. The kids are looking out. They're talking, asking me questions. Don't talk to me. Do not talk to me. You know. Who was in the front seat with me? Was it you? You were nervous too, weren't you? Nobody cared. That was part of the problem too. I'm white-knuckling. I'm telling you, at least three times I just stopped and waited for the car to go by and closed my eyes. Like, because I'm losing a mirror, something, they're going to run into me. There is no possible way we're going to both fit on this. I just stop in the middle of the road, and I just close my eyes. And then they got by, and I'm like, are they by? Yeah, they're gone. Okay, let's go. You know, and we didn't lose a mirror. It's a miracle, you know. But get all the way to the top, and you think, well, how serious is it? So there's this... the main building, when you go in there, they had these plaques on the walls. You know the names that are written on the plaque? The people who've driven off the mountain and died. That's how serious it is. It's for real. So, yeah, white knuckling. That's my memory of that amazing trip. Well, that's our life sometimes. Sometimes we feel like we're sort of like going through life, or we're in a season and we're white-knuckling it through that season. We're just holding on. We're going through it. We're trying to do the right thing. We're trying to be, you know, have the right attitude. But this is a hard thing. And I want to have a good attitude about this, but this is a hard thing that I'm going through right now. Sometimes it's relationships, isn't it? Where you have somebody and they've hurt you, and you know, it's just hard because you want to be able to get past that. You want to be able to live your life and not allow that relationship to destroy your life or to control you. Maybe we could say it that way. Relationships have a way of doing that sometimes, where you maybe didn't do a lot wrong in this. The other person did wrong, but it's sort of controlling your emotions and your life. And so this is a hard road whenever you're dealing with tough things in relationships, isn't it? Or how about finances? You're like, we're going to talk about finances every week? I don't know. This is a rough road. I mean, we could always talk about finances, right? I mean, there's maybe a few of us who don't have any trouble there. But so we go through seasons, and our finances are real tight, and we're wondering how things are going to, the ends are all going to meet and everything. Our health gets that way. And so we're white-knuckling it through the financial difficulties or the health difficulties or the relationship issues. We're just holding on. You know, we feel like we're doing the right thing, but it's still a tough season. I want you to consider this before we get into the passage this morning, that God sees you. You know, I almost thought about not doing this sermon this morning and just sort of postponing it to next Sunday, because I feel like this is part two to what we just talked about on Wednesday. You know, we have those oppressive times, you know. But I know that, you know, I know this is the message for this morning, but what I want you to hear before we even get into this is that God sees you. He sees where you are right now. He sees what you're going through. He sees the road that you're on. And He cares. And He will not fail you. He'll get you through this hard road. And He has a purpose for allowing you to go through it. Theophilus and any Christian experiencing these kind of things would be encouraged by the story, not only the birth of Jesus, but listen to this, the road that Joseph and Mary had to take to get there. Yeah. They were traveling a hard road that led to the birth of Christ. Now, it started with the Roman government who decreed that the whole world should be taxed. Look at verse 1. It says, "It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed," verse 3. "Everyone to his own city." So this decree would have indicated that there was a formal action from the Roman Senate. The decree came straight from the top, Caesar Augustus, the king or the emperor. The census was to determine who would be taxed. You know, maybe we could say it was a money grab or whatever it was that Caesar had in mind there. It came straight from the top, approved by the Senate. And so everybody in this region, well, really all the world, which would have included Israel, had to go to the place of their birth so that they could be included in this census or this numbering to find out who would be taxed. The decree meant that Joseph, though, and Mary had to go to Bethlehem. The problem, though, listen to this. The problem wasn't the taxation. Like, oh man, more taxes. That wasn't the problem. The problem was the timing. The problem was that they had to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and that's 80 miles. You know, and they don't have an SUV. So this is a long journey. The timing is tough. Why? Because there's a long journey, and the Bible says that Mary was great with child. I mean, you know what that means, right? Great with child. And when they got there, she actually had Christ. So that means she's right at 9 months pregnant. And she's right there. She's great with child. Now, often what would happen when there was a census or legal things of this nature, then Joseph would have went, represented the family, Mary would stay behind at home. It wouldn't be necessary for her to go. But she's right there about to have Christ the Savior. I mean, she's about to have a baby, and she wouldn't have wanted to be apart from Joseph. And so they agree, well, we need to do this trip, and we need to go together, because while we're there, I mean, Christ is going to come, or in the journey, or at some point in this, I mean, it's right at time. And yeah, this is a rough time. This is a long journey, and you're gonna need to go. And so they pack up, and they start the 80-mile journey. Maybe she's riding on the back of a donkey, you know, and they're on their way. That's a hard road. It's a tough road that they just got on. Why did God do that? Well, God had a plan, didn't he? I mean, God knew what he was doing. It wasn't a surprise that they would be on their way to Bethlehem, because Micah 5:2 says that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And so they're on this journey. It was of the plan of God. It was of the design of God. But this is a hard road because of the timing. It's the distance, the length of the journey. She's great with child. I was just chatting before service this morning with somebody about a Grand Canyon hike that I did a few years ago. And the years start stacking up. This was probably like 5 years ago, wasn't it? It was a long time ago. Or maybe it wasn't that long. I don't know. Who knows? Once it's like 2 or 3 years, then you're like, I don't even know. Was it 10 years ago? 5 years ago? Oh, that was 20 years ago. You know, who knows? 42 miles, rim to rim to rim. So what's that? It means you start off on the South Kaibab, you hike down for 7 miles, you hike across for 7 miles, then you hike up for 7 miles, and then you turn around. Do it again. You know, but you don't stop. Like, unless you die, then you stop. But, you know, which is a chance for that. So, I mean, we did this hike, and got dehydrated, fatigued. The next day, whenever I got out of bed, well, I sort of got out of bed. I mean, I sort of rolled and crawled out of bed. It was so painful. It was like the worst. And I'm going to go do it again. So, does anybody know what this is? What is that? Camelback. What's in a camelback? Well, what do you take on a hike when you go 42 miles? Well, let's see. Well, you got to start off with this. Headlamp, because we start at 3 a.m. Can't see anything. You don't want to fall off of the ledge and die, so this helps you not do that, hopefully. And then you have this, which is a utility knife, you know, just in case you, I don't know, I never use that, but it's there. I probably shouldn't even bring it because of the weight. Here's a couple other things. Now, I have had to use something like this. This is called a life straw. And they have spigots down at the bottom. You can make sure your bladder, not your literal bladder, but this thing, is filled up with water at the top. And then, you know, there's 3 liters in here. When you get to the bottom, you can fill it up again. And then on the other side, before you go up the North Kaibab, you can fill it up again. So there's water spigots there. But on the way across, when I got to the other side, the water spigot going up the North Kaibab, it was shut down. And I was out of water. So I had to get water out of the river and drink that water. So that's what these are for. And there was dirt in it. It was gross. But it was water. I never use this, but it's a poncho. I just get wet. There's other cool stuff in here. Let me see. There was one other thing I wanted to show you. Oh, man, I forgot to grab a Clif Bar. I always bring Clif Bars. So that's my journey. So I put my stuff in the bag, and this I have on, then I throw it in the bag. I put this stuff in here. I've got a lot of food in there, a lot of beef jerky, and believe it or not, like M&Ms and stuff, or not M&Ms, but like Snickers. That's my thing. So I got this thing on, and I'm starting the journey. Let me get it on here. Getting myself all strapped up. Now I'm ready. I'm ready for the journey. Ready for the road. So I'm hiking along. I'm just going, you know. And on the way down, you know, you got that headlamp, so you're just looking at your feet the whole time, because there's rocks and stuff, and you can trip on that and fall down, and then you're like, ouch. So you don't want to do that. So you're hiking, you're paying attention, and you know, you go down, then you start hiking across, and the sun starts coming up, and you can start to see the rim, because you're down in there before you can even see anything. The stars, you can see that, but and then you can start to see the outline of the rim on both sides, and you're just hiking along, and you're like, this is amazing, you know. And then you get to the other side, and the sun's up, and it's beautiful and stuff. And you fill up your water, and you're going to hike up the other side. You're snacking and eating stuff all the way, and you're drinking water along the way. And then you go up, and then you're thinking about halfway up on the north rim, you're thinking, why did I do this? Like, I mean, you're not even halfway done yet, and you're spent. You went about 19 miles at that point. And you still have four more or five more miles or however many, a few more miles to go before you're at the top. And then you just turn around and you got to come back and do it all again. And you're already thinking, this is pretty hard. This is a hard road. And then when you're on your way back and you're hiking out, you're just like one step and a half. Lord Jesus, please help me. You know, Lord Jesus, please help me. One step. Lord Jesus, please help me not die. Lord Jesus, please help me not die. Just one step. You know, all the way back when you're hiking back out. So it's a long road, isn't it? It's a long road. How many of you could imagine doing something like that while being 9 months pregnant? That sounds exciting, doesn't it? Question, what would you have in your bag if you were 9 months pregnant? I don't know. Well, let's see. There's no zipper there. Well, first of all, we would have to have one of these, inhaler, you know. I can't breathe. Or an oxygen tank. Your husband can bring that. Okay, I need oxygen, you know. Okay, what else? 9 months pregnant. That's what Mary was, right? Well, you know you got to have pickles. Amen? Like, I need pickles. I don't get that, but it's a thing, you know. But you got your inhaler, you got your pickles. What else? One other thing. This is literally, I think, the only other thing you need. 5-pound bag of M&Ms. We are set. Ready for a hike. You know? Listen, Mary goes on an 80-mile journey. And she is 9 months pregnant, friends. That is a hard road. Who did that to her? Well, it was the Lord. The Lord set them on this path. The Lord said, I have this journey that I want you to go on. And the journey is going to take you from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And I need you to be there because I'm working a plan in your life. But the road from Nazareth to Bethlehem, this is a hard road. But do you know what? That hard road is, it's the right road. You're on the right one. Did you know that it doesn't mean you're on the wrong road because you're in a hard season or because things are hard or because you go through a hard thing? That doesn't mean you're on the wrong path. No. While in Bethlehem, the time came for Jesus to be born. Now, in Bible times, accommodations for the travelers was primitive. So there were stalls set up for travelers in the city, and it was right off the common courtyard. So the innkeeper would then provide food for lodging and food for the animals, that is, and then they would provide, you know, sort of accommodations for the people staying in these, you know, in these inns that were created for them to be able to cook their food. They brought their own food, but they had the ability to cook it. Well, when Mary and Joseph made their way to the city, all of these accommodations were filled because of the census. And so there was no room for them in any of the courtyard inns that were created or established for the travelers. Look at verse number 7. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And so they stayed in a stable with livestock to give birth to her child. So let's follow this for a minute. She just made an 80-mile journey, 9 months pregnant, or 9 months expecting the Son of God. And then when she gets there, she's thinking, finally, we're there. I can get a comfortable place to at least sort of rest and lay down. I feel like it's getting close. But then when they got there, there was no room for them. And they had to stay in a stable. And Mary gave birth to her firstborn child, and there was no place to lay him, so he was laid in a manger. Now, what is that? That's a feeding place for animals. So Jesus was born in a stable for animals. He was wrapped in strips of cloth. He was placed in a feeding trough for the animals. And what that tells you and me, the journey to Bethlehem was a hard road. That's what it says. How would you have felt, moms, and you had a your first baby, and you wrapped him in strips of cloth and laid him in an animal feeding trough? Would you feel like maybe something was wrong? Like maybe along the journey I made a mistake? Like maybe something isn't quite right about this? You know, I think the imagery here is for us to see that this isn't a normal thing. Yes, we understand that it was the work of God and the plan of God, and God was doing something amazing there. But this was a hard thing. Hard things that we go through makes us wonder if we're even on the right path. The other week, I think it was last week, and when you were in Wisconsin, not this last week, but the week before, my wife was able to go to Wisconsin and spend a few days with her sister there. And while there, they journeyed back and forth from church because it was a revival. And on the way back from church one of the nights, which is about 20 minutes drive, my mother-in-law and my nephew, who's 16, was driving. Or was he driving? Or was grandma was driving? So mother-in-law was driving. But she was being navigated home by the 16-year-old boy. Oh, no, you need to turn there. And you need to turn there. No, this is good. So they turn on this road, and Melissa and Mary Beth with the other kids are following behind them when they turn. And Mary Beth immediately says, "That's not the right way. Where are they going?" And so she's stressed about it, and she starts questioning, like, Oh, no, what do I do now? That's not the right way. So then second-guessing herself all the way, she turned on the road that they turned on, and she drove on that road for a little while, and all the time she was saying, "This isn't right. This isn't right. We're on the wrong road." And finally, it got the best of her. What did she do? She stopped. She pulled into this driveway right, turned around, and went back the way she knew. And all the way she was going on this path, she was telling herself, "This isn't right. This isn't right. This isn't right." That's what we do. And we go through hard things. And when you're on that journey and you turn onto a road, you might be going the right way, but it doesn't feel right. So we start telling ourselves that. This doesn't feel right. This doesn't seem right. This isn't right. This isn't right. And we'll say that so much to ourselves that we'll convince ourselves that we're not on the right path. And then we'll turn around and we'll go back another way. But here's what's the truth about it. So often we're on the right path. We're doing what God wants us to do. We're you know, living the life that God wants us to live, and we hit that stretch, and it's a hard stretch. It's hard things. It's a hard road. It's a rough stretch. And because it's hard and because it's a rough stretch, we start telling ourselves, "Something's wrong with this. I'm on the wrong path. This isn't right. This isn't right. This isn't right." And so we want to turn around and go down a different path. We want to stop doing what God is leading us to do. It can happen in our relationships. That can happen when you've been hurt, when somebody has hurt you. You know, because you're trying to do what God wants you to do and live the life that God wants you to live, and you're taking steps in obedience to God, and then the people that are around you, they start doing things or making decisions that hurts you. And then you're like, you know what? This is hard. You know what God says? God says you need to forgive. When you've been hurt, you know what God says you need to do? He says you need to forgive. You're like, that's too hard. You don't know, Pastor, what happened. It's too hard to forgive. That's a hard road. It's a hard road whenever you know, you in relationships, when you know what God wants you to do, you're trying to do what God wants you to do, and then somebody else does something, and that hurts, and then God says, I want you to forgive them, and that's pretty hard. I don't know if I can do that. Like, this isn't right. You start feeling like this isn't right. This isn't right. This isn't right. I shouldn't have to forgive them. They hurt me. They did this. This isn't right. And God is telling you the direction He wants you to go. He's leading you down the path He wants you to walk on. But because it's hard, sometimes we turn around and we don't want to go down that path. It's just too hard. And sometimes it's forgiveness. Sometimes sometimes in those relationships, it's being long-suffering. Sometimes it's being loving. And to be long-suffering with somebody, to be loving to somebody who've hurt you, that's a hard thing to do. But we know it's what God wants us to do. We know it's the path that He has for us. But it's hard. It's hard to trust. Again, it's hard to serve sometimes God again whenever you've been hurt by somebody. It's a hard road. You know what's hard? It's hard to watch people walk away. That's hard, isn't it? How many of you have stood for the Lord, you're trying to live for God and be faithful, and you watch people walk away? You watch people walk away. That's hard to do. I've done it. I've seen it so many times where there is this, you know, desire to live for the Lord and be committed to Him and to serve Him and to be surrendered to Him and say, God, I want to be what You want me to be. I want to be faithful to You. I want to serve You. I want to get the gospel to the lost. I want to preach the Word as the Lord's called me to be a preacher. And I want to stand for You. I want to tell people about Jesus. I want to be loved. I want to be loving and forgiving and caring and reach out and try to win people. And then you have this love for people. You have this concern and this burden for people that God puts in you. And that's not just a thing that happens to the pastor. It happens to all of us. Anybody who loves the church and the ministry, who we love each other. And so then when somebody who you love and you've invested in and you care about them, and then they decide they're going to walk away in sin, or they're going to say things, maybe aren't even true about the work of the ministry, that you've invested in these people and now they're doing this, and you're watching that happen. Here's what that is. That's hard. That's a hard road, isn't it? That's a hard road. You know what these hard things makes us want to do? It makes us want to pull into a driveway, put it in reverse, and turn around and go back and say, this is hard. This doesn't feel right. This isn't right. Maybe I'm on the wrong road. Did you know that if somebody hurts you and God says He wants you to forgive them, that doesn't mean that you're on the wrong road? If you have invested in somebody, if you've invested in relationships, if you've invested in ministry, and somebody in sin turns around and they go the other way, doesn't mean you're on the wrong road. Doesn't mean that. But it feels like it, though, sometimes. And because of that, it makes us feel like maybe we should turn around. Joseph and Mary faced a hard road. They had to take a long journey to Bethlehem, and at a really bad time, because Jesus was born and there was no midwife, there was no comfortable bed, there was a stable. But here's what God wants us to see in this story. That although going from Nazareth to Bethlehem was a hard road, that God had a plan. That God took them there to bring forth Jesus, who is the Savior of the world. That God had a plan to bring Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem so that Jesus could be delivered there. And that was a hard road that God had for this family so that they would be where God wanted them to be, doing what God wanted them to do to accomplish God's plan. You might be walking on a hard road, but if you're where God wants you to be, then you need to stay the course. God will use your hard work, your hard road that you're on to accomplish something good. He does have a plan that He wants to accomplish in your life. He's leading you to His will, and you might be asking, why is this happening? You might be on the journey, and you know, you're thinking that you have all the gear that you need. You're thinking that you're ready for the, you know, for the road. And at the beginning, you're real excited about it. Man, this is exciting. Look how beautiful it is. Look how wonderful this is. And then you go, like, man, this is so great. It's so great. Serving God is so great. Yeah. Loving the Lord is so great. Trying to reach people is so great, you know. And you go, and then you start, along the way, you're like, you experience something, you know, in a relationship. Now, this was kind of hard. You know, man, it's not as fun as it was when I started. It's kind of hard now. So what do I do? Well, don't they have helicopters that'll come and pull you out of here? Like if you're gonna die, then maybe you just lay down and wait for the marsh. What are those guys that hike through there every day called? I forget. The Rangers. I was thinking Marshall. That didn't right. Wait for the Ranger to come, and then he's like, "Are you doing okay? No. Can you call a helicopter, or just carry me? Either way. Do you have a harness? Can you just carry me?" You're thinking, I'm just ready to not do this anymore. This is pretty hard. And God says, you know what? You should keep on going. So you say, Lord, I don't know why this is happening. I don't know why you have me on this road and why this is so hard. I don't know why this is happening. But do you know what I know? I know that you know what you're doing. And I know that I'm on the path that you want me to be on. So I'm just going to keep going. You're thinking, well, it's got to get easier, right? Well, sometimes it gets easier. Sometimes it gets harder. You just keep going. When will people stop being people? Like when we're in heaven, maybe, and sin is gone? When are people going to stop hurting us? When we're not here anymore? So when are you going to throw in the towel? Well, that was the last straw. No more after this. I'm just going to keep going. It's hard. Can't feel my thighs anymore. I'm going to lose both toenails, the big ones, you know. They just might as well mark it down. Because you can't hike into the canyon without kicking rocks. You're going to kick rocks. And then when you kick them, you're like, ouch. And then you'll find out a couple of weeks later that your toenails aren't going to make it. That's fun. What does all this mean? It means it's hard. You just got to keep going. Because God's got a plan. And He's going to work that plan out. You just got to stay on the path that He has for you. I think the message this morning is simple. Just because it's hard doesn't mean you're on the wrong road. Because it's hard doesn't mean you're on the wrong road. Paul said it like this, and we're done. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardness. Father, this morning I pray for your grace to pour out in the lives of people who perhaps needed to be encouraged. I think about the hard road that we face sometimes. And maybe somebody in this auditorium, even this morning, is facing a hard road. maybe on a hard road. I pray that you give them courage to know to stay, but Lord, wisdom to know that you're working a plan out in their life and that they can trust you. And that even though it feels hard or it feels like something's wrong, it doesn't necessarily mean something's wrong. Help them just to be faithful, to trust, Lord, in this season that you're doing something great. And so I pray for your grace to fall out on your people this morning in this way. And then, Lord, for those that maybe need to be saved, God, would you bring a touch to their hearts that encourage to come and get saved before it's too late? We'll give you glory for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. If God's worked in your heart.